Well, we gave them each 10 minutes. Two people, 10 minutes, and it only took us a half hour. So I would hope, even you, Tony, they can't hear the questions. We've set a microphone in the back. I've asked, since we have a number of the traveling press from out-of-town newspapers, if they want to ask any questions publicly, to please go to the mic in the back, and we'll give you first crack. If not, we'll take any of the TV, and we will get to the members in the back. Alec, would you please make sure that they're members first?
Other gentleman's not a member.
Excuse me?
Not a member. The gentleman behind Murray Sisselman's not a member.
Yeah, make sure, please, if they're members first, because... if we keep the questions short, and please, Hal, the answers should be like 1 minute apiece. First question in the back.
This is addressed to Senator Gray. Bob, do you find some type of dichotomy by accepting the endorsement of Mr. Smathers, an anti-teacher organization, an anti-teacher, and yet you yourself have taken the endorsement of one of the two largest state teachers organizations?
No, sir. Murray, and I expect that after October the 5th, we'll have the endorsement of your organization, too. My position on education has been one that Murray, you, and Pat, and a number of others in this room have worked closely with me to build over the last 12 years. I don't believe there is a person in the legislature who has had a stronger record in support of adequate state financing of schools, increasing local control over how those funds are used, providing funds in important areas such as basic education at the primary grades, programs to fund alternative schools for disruptive children, community schools, the whole range of issues on which we have worked so closely together in the past and will have an opportunity to work closely together in the future. Thank you.
You've asked the question, though, Murray. Bob, you want to respond to that? Albo, you remember Albo?
No, he's
we have to take members first. Then we can have guests. Bob, you want to make a comment on
the... Well, he didn't answer the question. The question had to do with Bruce Smathers' support, and I think it's up to Bob Graham to answer that question.
The question was answered no. Okay. The answer to the question is no.
Mr. Fontana is a member. Albo, you a member? Okay. Okay, if you're a member, then ask a question. Go ahead.
I'll ask you two questions.
No, one question, please. One at a time.
One question for the two
candidates.
Right. I've got one program. Is he going down to the staff? The Latin people represent the people, not the Turkish people.
Okay. Bob, would you like to answer that? That question I'll have to ask of both candidates, whether they'll have Latin members on their staff. Now, Albo, that's that question, and then we'll go.
I don't think any Latin members are staff over here. Proviso and Correa is not here.
Okay, Albo, you've asked the one question, and they're both going to answer, then we'll go on to the next questioner.
The good people represent the people as they can, right?
Okay, my press secretary is Angel Castillo, who is a Cuban-American and who came to America as a youngster, and I have made a firm commitment to people throughout this state that all boards, agencies, and appointments will be balanced. And I certainly intend to bring in qualified people, regardless of ethnic background, regardless of color, and try to give everybody a fair opportunity in serving in important positions in state government.
The Graham administration will have an affirmative action program. We will not sit back and wait, but we'll seek out to recruit, identify, and bring into state government the broadest range of people in this state, with particular emphasis on blacks, Latins, and women who have traditionally been underrepresented in state government, as well as other groups. I am committed to a state government that is open to people who have had experiences other than in state government so that they can bring their insight, their personal perspective on problems to bear from the side of government. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Okay. Mr. Tony Fontana, state representative and past president of our organization.
Mr. Ross, my question is to Bob. That's both of them. I want to know, on October the 6th, are you going to support the Democratic nominee?
Yes, sir.
The answer is absolutely yes.
I think the Democrats learned that lesson in 1966 and 68, even though that is antiquities that I'm talking about.
Good line, Ross.
I got some good lines, too, Chairman. You candidates aren't the only ones.
There's a little bit left in you, Ross.
Okay. We have any more questions? Hi there. There is a familiar face.
Columnist.
You're a columnist now, Gwen?
Yes, I am.
Gwen Cherry, who for many years tried to integrate this organization, not from a color standpoint, but from a sexual standpoint, and was most effective when we decided to let you in 6 years ago. I'll tell you, it has been a great success that the women have been in members of Tiger Bay, Gwen, and it's a lot to your credit. And Roxy Bolton, wherever she may be. Okay, ask the questions, Gwen. Gwen is a member.
I'm very concerned about the cannabis ban on capital punishment. I'm fearful that we've killed so many poor people now with the electric chair. I'm concerned about the Attorney General's position. I think I see a parade of persons to the electric chair as soon as you are elected, correct, Mr. Chairman.
Well, if your question is, will I have the courage to sign death warrants when it's necessary, my answer is absolutely yes. Now, what is your question?
I think I know a vigorous attempt for you to crank up the electric chair and get it started. Is that so?
Well, I heard Mr. Graham say today that in his vigorous defense of his crime record that he's for the death penalty. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, he voted for it for rape. I'm not even in favor of it for rape. I'm only in favor of the death penalty for first-degree murder, premeditated murder, and felony murder. I am in favor of it for those crimes, and there are people on death row when they exhaust their appeals. If the death penalty is to continue to serve as a deterrent, it's going to have to be used. Now, I will review each case on its merits. If there are mitigating circumstances, I will mitigate. That's what I did in the Pitts and Lee case. I had the courage to mitigate when it was warranted. But by the same token, I will tell you now that in my view, a majority of the people that are on Florida's death row will have to face the ultimate punishment at some point in time, and that it's more cruel and unusual punishment to keep them there year after year after year without ever being able to exhaust the federal appeals. I'm hopeful that now that we've won the case in New Orleans, that we can win the case in Washington, get the issue behind us. And it is going to be an awesome responsibility on the next governor of Florida to go through those 125 cases and make those decisions. And I certainly have the background. I know the cases well. I think I'm in a much better position to make those kind of critical decisions than my opponent. But the answer is yes, I will have the courage to sign death warrants when I am convinced that the individual is guilty beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. When due process of law, including adequate counsel, has been totally presented, and when the crime is sufficiently heinous enough to warrant the death penalty.
Next question. Have any of the press up here got any questions? No? Okay, next question.
Both of you candidates seem to be in favor of increased homestead exemption and reduced taxes. Seem inconsistent. I'd like to know
from
each one of you how you're going to bring this magic about.
Graham, they're inconsistent, you said?
I'd like to. Go ahead.
Increase homestead exemption and decrease taxes is consistent, I think. No?
Increase homestead exemption would reduce the taxes for those individuals having the advantage of the increased exemption, but where is the money going to come from to
okay.
the state government, you know, for operational expenses?
Well, we can dig up a few antiquities or something.
I'll be happy to answer.
You want to answer the quick one, too?
Well, okay. First of all, I don't think it's true that both of us are in favor of increased homestead exemption. At least I've never heard him say that. I am in favor of doubling homestead exemption because, in my view, that's the only way to help the homeowner. If you put a freeze on property taxes or reduce millage or cut millage in half, all you're helping are the large landowners in Florida. You're not helping the small homeowner. If you double homestead exemption, it costs $95 million. We have a $135 million reserve. We could take it out of the reserve. And if we bring in the new kind of industry that I want to bring in for Florida and eliminate the bureaucracy that I want to eliminate, we can do both.
I have been a longtime advocate of effective programs of providing relief not only to homeowners, but to the almost 40% of the people in this state who rent, who as a group are the lowest income, the highest incidence of elderly within our population. Those people would be completely ignored if we based our total form of tax relief on increasing homestead exemption. I have supported a program which 28 states in this nation have already adopted, which Florida should have been the first state, not the 29th, to adopt, which would say that we would fix a maximum limit on property taxes at 5% of the family income. Bob correctly states that the average in Florida is 3.8% of family income for property taxes. What he fails to say is that for families who earn under $10,000, a substantial number of them are paying property taxes of 8, 9, 10% and more in property taxes on where they live. That is the kind of responsible, intelligent, economic, political action which you can expect from Bob Graham through a structured program which begins with a 2-year freeze on property taxes, a major commission to reform the taxes in this state, and the most thoroughgoing examination of how we spend our money. I can tell you this, that during the first 4 years that Bob Graham is governor of this state, the governor's office will not overspend its budget and be forced to draw on the deficiency funds of this state as the attorney general's office did during the first 4 years that Bob Chevin was attorney general.
No. Thank you very much for coming. We have a long line of people and the cars, to get your cars, we want to get you, be able to be back where you're going. Thank you for coming. And on October 12th, we'll have the two candidates that are left.
That's fine.